Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Trust in God radio network. It is a Sunday sports wrap, but you know how we start every time here on Sports in Depth on the Trust in God radio network. We open up with John Coltrane and a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, and more importantly, have your will and way. Dear Lord, we thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. And we ask that your way be our way. We thank you for blessings forthcoming that have come all undeserved. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and your love. And like that man said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue bench. Bless our families, my Sports in Depth family, my family here, my family in Brazil, and our president. Yes, he's blessing all the blessing. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God radio network. It's a Sunday. Oh, we got talk for you. I know Dusty is. He's probably going to the Giants midgets now. And Howard Weston said, I hope you didn't bet the red money with the Jets. And Z-Wings is just hanging his head. Hope so from the corner. Will Fat Joe Jackson come back? All that. Yes, the posse is coming in. Sunday sport. It's the last word, but the most important word that you will hear as we move into another week. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God radio network. It's here. They're here. Give us some time. Give us your ear. And we will definitely inform you and enlighten you on Sports in Depth on the Trust in God radio network. Here comes Dusty. Mel Smith Jr. will be here for the intro, but before we get going, Dusty, you know, you said the Giants have been playing well. I don't know if you and Consuelo put the whammy on them. Eli Manning, two INTs and a fumble today. You know, Cincinnati led the series 5-3 going into the game today, and no game outside of one game was more than 8 points. The one game that was a blowout was Cincinnati beating the Giants before, by ironically, Dusty, the same score they beat them today. 31-30.
Exactly. And when a team like Cincinnati scores within 5 minutes of the first quarter, 14 points, untouched, unanswered, she just shut the door. Because that's exactly
turn out the lights.
Turn out the lights, exactly. And they started disintegrating in the Cowboy game. People don't realize that.
We talked about that, and you know what happened today, that the Cowboys. Hold on, wait a minute. Who's riding up now? It looks like Cincinnati C. Okay. And you know, you talk about the Cowboys won. Who now, like last week, big football game, chance to gain ground on the Giants, which they didn't do. This week they did. The Eagles lost. But Cincinnati, see, I mean, you know, Rooney said something the other day when we were doing the weekday sports show how it seems that Sanchez always fumbles at it's just not really a good time to fumble, but there's sometimes that are better. I'm watching the game today. I mean, the Jets are coming down the field. They got a chance to score, a chance to get back into the football game. They're in the red zone, and this is ironic that this was the number one scoring team in the red zone last year in all of pro football. They're in the red zone, and now Sanchez is getting ready to get sacked. And for all other instances, you're in the arms of the guy, you kind of cuddle football, and you don't want to get sacked and fumble the football. It seems to me... He's trying to throw the football,
Z-Wings. Exactly. He's trying to throw the football instead of protecting it.
Good evening and to
the Sports and Death panel, the Sports and Death Nation out there. This was a sad day. The only
another sad day. Sad day part six.
Part six. Sad day.
The only good thing was that Sanchez turned 26 today. That's about it.
That's about it.
I mean, I don't know where to start with the Jets or the Giants. They kind of played similar. I mean, you had Eli Manning under pressure trying to throw the ball away. He throws two interceptions.
Yeah,
I can't understand. I mean, they look like a dead headlights. The Jets are a discombobulated mess. On behalf of Sports and Death Nation, we want to wish Mark Sanchez his
happy birthday, Mark.
Twenty-sixth birthday. I mean, this easily could have been 35-0 if Wilkerson didn't run that ball in for a touchdown. Because basically, the offense stayed in. Back at the New Jersey training facility, because they sure didn't travel to Seattle. I mean, it goes far beyond Sanchez. I mean, he made a lot of bad plays, but just like in the post-game show on SNY, I've never seen these guys that so upset, so critical of the Jets. I mean, they have been very critical, I think, this year more than any other year under the Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez regime, but this was bad. They couldn't get anything going. They haven't scored a touchdown, offensive touchdown, in the last seven quarters.
Wow!
And not only that, I mean, this reminds me of what they could do. Wait a minute, somebody's boy, you're in trouble now. Here come Rooney. You're in trouble now. Here come Rooney.
The sheriff is in town.
Hey, Rooney, first, introduce the Sports and Death Nation to the show, and then you can have your way.
That's right. Take out the roof.
Of course, the doctor, the Sports and Death Nation is here. The Sports and Death panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The Sports and Death Nation, the drink is here. And that, indeed, is Doc's family. Take it away, Doc.
Rooney, I'm handing you the portion now, baby. J-E-T-S, Jets. G-I-A-N-T-S. They both lose again. Sanchez. Right away, when I'm watching this, they're coming down the field. He's hit Keller, who made up for a missed pass before. They're in the red zone. They're rocking and rolling. And he gets tackled. And he's fumbled, and I hear your voice at the most inopportune times. And I'm looking at the replay, and I'm thinking, what is going through your mind? You're in the grasp of the defensive player. You're going toward the ground. Where are you throwing this football, Rooney?
You know, I was just listening to C-Wings, Doc, giving his expert commentary, and he's right. This was bad, Doc. Dusty, how many different ways and how many different languages can you say bad in?
I know three. Ma, Portuguese, Milo, Spanish, bad English, horrible English, you know, and I can't use the words that use on the block, you know, but I got a comment because maybe Harold, you know, hold on.
But I have a suggestion.
What's that?
I have a suggestion, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe this will help. Sanchez goes to the Giants and Eli goes to the Jets.
Harold, can you find another word worse than bad to describe the play of the Giants and Jets today, Harold?
Sad and touching.
I knew it. Doc Staley, Sports and Up on the Trust in God Radio Network is a Sunday sports wrap. Hey, they're here. They cannot be touched. They're incomparable. Legends all. Harold Weston Jr., Mel Smith Jr., Destino Baby Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings, Lady A. Getting well wishes to her. She's on assignment as well as Nate B. Baseball. Hoopsa may try some from a distance. But it was the last thing said here. Okay, Rooney, let you kick it out first. Got some other things to talk about, too. We also want to say happy birthday to Mark Sanchez. Well, it's his birthday. Get well wishes to Derek Jeter. Jeter is, they say, coming along very well. Should be ready for spring training. Mariano Rivera has told the Yankees that he wants to sign a contract and come back next year. The Nets, again. Hey, the Nets, after losing 10 straight to the Orlando Magic, beat them again for the second straight time, 82-70.
Hello?
Hello?
I hear you, Harold. I don't hear the rest of the crew. Where's our cast?
No, I'm here.
I'm
here.
I hear you. Where's the rest of the crew?
I think we lost.
I hear Dusty. I hear Harold. Is Doc Stanley with us?
No, I think we lost him.
Yeah, I think we did. Harold, how
can we lose our home? He's celebrating with Mark Sanchez.
He told Sanchez, blow off the candles. This game is
He blew off Sports and Depth.
But you know what? We had our first tie today of the season. The St. Louis Rams, who
the
Jets
won.
The 49ers.
Yeah, Were you consoling Mark Sanchez? You went off here.
I went up there for a minute because I was trying. I didn't want the world to hear me say happy birthday to him personally. Okay, but this is the thing. This is stunning. You know, the 49ers tied today with the Rams. You know, I don't see where the 49ers are one of the elite football teams in pro football. I don't see it, and this kind of stuff validates it. I mean, they last year. And against the Giants in the championship game, they didn't get one third down all game. Not one. And then they had 14 first downs in the game where the Giants, Dusty, can I use the word, slapped them around all game. Okay.
Yeah, slapped them around,
14 first downs and 3 points. Is that an elite football thing? And now, in today's market, when you have a chance to win a game in overtime, elite football team couldn't get a field goal in overtime. The 49ers, right now, to me, they're gold, all right. They're fool's gold.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm the one that started this thing about the 49ers, the dark horse. And the reason, the reason I said the dark horses, because you got to go with a winner, a potential winner, is because they got two or three of the Giants who helped the Giants win the Super Bowl. That's what they have not performed. And then you were glad to hear that Randy Moss is back in the fold. And you said, well, they got two or three or four key players. But those two or three or four key players have not got them out of that mediocre way of playing. So that's why they, instead of the dark horse, they're just also Rams like everybody else. But you got to look at Denver Broncos. Now I'm looking at Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. The only thing I'm worried about is his neck injury. But the way that dude is leading that team, don't be surprised if they're in the playoffs, the championship, maybe even the Super Bowl. Am I predicting too much? I don't know. But I watched them. I studied them. You see, I don't watch sports for entertainment. I evaluate, and I watch what they're doing, and I study, and I see the tenacity of this Denver Broncos under the leadership of Peyton Manning. And I'm saying, whoa, maybe they are the team to beat, or they are the team that's going to get to the Super Bowl. But the 49ers, no, I only said that because I saw that they got key players, but they're not playing. They're not playing up to the level that I thought
they were
going to play.
In your defense, off of last year's play.
No, I'm not defending myself. I don't defend myself.
I'm defending you. I'm defending you. Okay, in your defense, they got a great tight end, outstanding defense. They won their division. They had a tremendous – and even this year, I mean, they came in here and ran roughside
Exactly.
Russ
thought
over the Jets. I mean, beat him in every phase of the football game, and they did it. You're saying, wow, these guys
can get
to rolling and to, for me, get a serious quarterback, because the guys they have a quarterback are not serious quarterbacks. So you got to say, in spite of who they have at the quarterback position. I mean, imagine right now, Dusty, what you just said about Manning and about them. Imagine if Manning had went to Frisco and then you add Brandon Jacobs and Moss to that mix. Maybe today we'd have been talking about how San Francisco was still undefeated.
Absolutely.
As opposed to, and here's another thing too here, fellas, C-Wings, I'm coming at you. You know, the Saints ain't dead. They're starting to march. I remember, I can't think of the writer's name, who predicted the Saints was going to go to the Super Bowl. They lost their first three, four games. Right now, what, they're 4-5? They're 4-5 right now?
They're in the middle. Atlanta lost its first game.
Yeah, that's who beat them.
And
the thing about Atlanta. The thing about Atlanta was nobody was talking to, as Atlanta got to 8-0, which is the halfway mark of the season. Nobody was even remotely saying they were going to go undefeated, C Wings.
Yeah.
Or even make it to the Super Bowl. They're not a team that people we
No, they're not a Super Bowl team. They're a flash in the pan during the season. And then when it comes to the nitty gritty, where you got to show up or put up a show up, they don't.
Okay, but the thing is, I want you to digest on this. Okay, why are they not seen as an elite team with this outstanding record? I was talking to two gentlemen there earlier, Renee, and I'm looking for another caller to come in. And Renee said, you know, everybody said they were lucky. You know, what is it about Atlanta that they didn't have no legitimate? Legitimacy. And people just didn't see him for real, C-Wings.
I mean, you could kind of compare them to the Indianapolis Colts under Peyton Manning in the early half of the new millennium. They would do well some years during the season. They would break all of these records. They would come back. And when it came to playoff season, they would fizzle out. I think they have a good team. I don't think they have that great team that can make it through the rest of the season. They might do well the rest of the season, but when it comes down to the playoffs, that's a whole totally different animal. And I don't think that team is prepared for that. I saw today they could have won that game. They kind of did like the Jets did in the AFC Championship game against the Steelers. They kept throwing that ball. Running the ball. I think they would have fared better running the ball when they were in the red zone there. He kept throwing it. It kept getting deflected. Good red zone offense on the Saints, who were one of the best teams in the league as far as red zone defense. And, you know, I just saw a team today that I wouldn't say luck. I wouldn't put myself out there like that. They're a good team, but I just don't think they are a Super Bowl caliber team at this point. They're just not.
Absolutely, yeah. They played hard during the 16-game season, but then, like we all said, it's a standard belief that when the playoffs begin, it's a new season.
They remind you of the old Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks would win the division. They went 50, 56, almost 60 games, get into the playoffs, and be gone in the first round. Got some predictions here that came out really nice in the paper here. Paper I usually don't read. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The Giants and Jets have lost again. There's some sort of surprise by the Giants losing again. And I think it was not so much the fact that they lost. Get back to Cincinnati C. And to Rooney, it's not that they've lost, it's that who they've lost to. But you had said, C-Wings, that Cincinnati is not a pushover team. And this win today by them and this win by New Orleans against Atlanta, both those teams are back into the picture. And the Dallas Eagles game, which is a cutthroat game, this very well could mean the end for the Eagles, C-Wings. Let's take it one at a time. Eagles-Cowboys. Eagles done, C-Wings?
I think in all intents and purposes, the Eagles are done. Michael Vick is out.
Yeah, he's out.
I just think that Andy Reid has he's fallen on deaf ears. As far as I think he's lost the locker room. He's run his course there, and to our endeared president, I think at the end of this season, those unemployment numbers will be going up by a couple of points.
Okay, let's. Okay,
you will see from Tannenbaum, like Ray Lucas said today, he has a lot to answer. He needs to be called on the carpet.
Right.
Chris Jenkins said, okay, if you want to sit Sanchez down, you need to sit Tannenbaum down. You might see Rex Ryan gone. You're going to see, I think you're going to see North Turner. I think he blew his stack today basically at the press conference when a reporter asked him, did he think that the performance today was unsatisfactory? And, I mean, he kind of really went off on a guy on a tantrum. I think you're going to see him gone. You're going to see Andy Reid gone. I think the owner has stated that before the start of the season. 8-8 is not going to get it. You know, you have Michael Vick gone. Even the backup quarterback, he wasn't too impressive. He wasn't.
No,
he gave up two passes. What the Cowboys just basically, you kind of had the game won, but, you know, it was two interceptions. One was a deflective pass, but it was a poorly thrown pass by the backup quarterback. The Eagles are done. They're done. They're going into rebuilding mode. I think you're going to see a lot of those coaches that I just mentioned. Phillip Rivers, I think he's going to be gone out of the San Diego Chargers. He's just one of those quarterbacks that have started out good but just wasn't able to get that second leg over that fence. I don't know what to say. I'm aghast at what's going on over in San Diego.
Okay,
I don't know
can you tell me, it looked like, for all intents and purposes, that the Saints was gone. We were just going along with Drew Brees, who was breaking his record. But now, at 4-5, they get Vilma back. I think today's football game, their victory, they're back into the swing of things, as well as this win Cincinnati had against the Giants. These are two football teams who have, I think, resurrected their season and are going to be teams to be reckoned with the rest of the season, Big C.
I don't think too much with Cincinnati.
Okay.
They still play kind of skittish. They always have been. I have more faith in the Saints. They have the weapons. They have Drew Brees. I mean, this guy's a man on fire. With all the controversy they've gone through, they lost their coach for the season. They're still dealing with the after effects of the scandal that went on down there. But
They're
still playing hard. He's still throwing these touchdowns. It's like they never missed a beat, and I would say look out for them. I don't know how far they're going to go. I don't think they'll make it to the Super Bowl, but they're really fighting hard, and that's the team that you have to watch out for.
I'm not sold on
the Cincinnati Bengals.
You talked about the Falcons and Witt and the Post was saying before today's game, the Falcons may be unbeaten, but their visit to New Orleans today won't be a big easy. Expect the Saints to cover, if not to win outright. There's some talk. Our good buddy Steve Serby, Rex Ryan, NFL's, here he is. Okay, ready, gang. Rex Ryan, NFL's most overrated coach. Serby says it ain't so.
From the day he walked into Jetland.
Rooney? Talk to me, Rooney. Is Rex Ryan the most, I mean, you know, he talk to me, Rooney. Is he the most overrated coach in football?
Wow, I don't know, Doc. He's overrated. He's not overrated. The fact of the matter is they're not winning ball games under this guy. I don't know if he's going to have a job at the end of the season. I'm having a feeling that they may bring him back, but they definitely need another GM. There's no question about that. I mean, the moves that this guy has made and the people that he's taken away, the weapons that they once had, they just don't have anymore. They're not playing with any sense of urgency. I mean, as the great C-Wing said earlier, and as Dusty piggybacked on that earlier, they look bad, man. I mean, let's just know that that's just the only way to look at it, Doc. They look bad. They got destroyed on both sides of the football. There was nothing that you can point to say, I can take any solace in this. They look bad on offense. They look bad on defense. They look bad on special teams. they just have looked like a squad in search of an identity, quite frankly.
Well, you know, the thing, too, here... Hold on, Dustin. No, the thing here, everybody's talking about Ryan. Everybody's talking about other coaches. And I thought about something hitting me. Nobody's talking about the Dallas coach. I mean, nobody's talking... Here's a guy, look at his track record. He lost one game because he froze his own kicker. He froze his own kicker. I mean, what are you thinking? You froze your own kicker?
I don't think he's going to be there.
Jerry Jones is known
for getting rid of coaches.
But my thing is, why is he still? I mean, you know, every week we put pressure on Tony Romo. I mean, you know, just in that. But it's the coach calling those plays. In today's football game, the one thing I said, and Roger Staubach is a Hall of Famer, won the Heisman. But I had never put Roger in the same class with Johnny U and Joe Namath and all those guys because. Landry used to call his plays. So, I mean, the guy in Dallas, he ain't doing the job, man. He ain't doing the job. Beating the Eagles right now is really not a prerequisite for victory, the way they're playing. We got another call. Who just called in?
Yes, hello?
Hello, who's calling?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, hey, this is Todd. Okay, glad you called in. I was talking to a gentleman today. And told him to give us a shout, listen in. So you can join the panel, listen in here. We got Cincinnati C, Justino Baby Lewis, Harold Weston Jr., Mel Smith Jr., and my man Todd called earlier. Okay, we're talking some football. Listen in, and you can join us too.
Let me interject this thing
ahead,
here. Does anybody know, and I'm asking this question because I don't recall, but was Rex Ryan a head coach of any other team?
No. He came from the Ravens.
That's exactly right. He came out of the Ravens. Okay, he was a sideline, whatever he was, defensive coach. This is his first test as head coach, and as far as I'm concerned, he failed it. he just failed. Because you walk in as a freaking rookie, never head of the game, and blunderbuss and talking how we're going to do this and we're going to do that, we're going to do this. He's still talking 5 years ago, and he ain't done nothing. In fact, if anything has changed, it's gone from bad to worse.
Hold on a second.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Sanchez was on a drive. And I think he threw to Justin. Tell us something.
Yeah.
Did he replace Sanchez with Tebow?
No.
He did replace Sanchez. There was one time they were Tebow. Yeah, well, Tebow.
Replaced Sanchez in the red zone, and that's when Dustin Keller had his second false start.
He replaced Sanchez with Tebow. What kind of nonsense is that, man?
They don't
can
have.
Explain
faith.
That to me.
Yeah, it's funny you said
they
that.
Do not have
I thought about that too. Sanchez had got the team down there, blew first down, and then he brings Tebow right behind him. And you've been saying, you know, if Sanchez
I've been
is rolling,
why bring in Tebow?
If Sanchez is rolling, and as minute as that is, why stop it? You know, and with Tebow,
why stop the drive? Exactly.
Not only that,
why
with Tebow, you're telling everybody. That 99% of the time he's going to run the football. Are you telling
me? Let me say this about Tebow.
Go ahead.
He uses the same play for Tebow.
If you play him in the game, he will win the Jets games. Put him in the game, take out Sanchez, and maybe the Jets will win a couple of games. How about that one? Look what he did for the Broncos last year.
The thing about Tebow, Doc, is that he uses the same exact play. As one of the panelists just said, when Tebow comes in the game, you know it's going to be either Tebow, rush quarterback,
he's
gonna
run the ball. He's not
gonna throw
the
right football. Up the middle, or a three-yard pass to Curley. I mean, those are the only plays the guy runs, straight up the middle, or three-yard pass
what
to
I'm
Curley.
Saying, what I'm saying, what I've said from the jump, you know, why not give Tebow a chance? I mean, I understand, but why? I mean...
You know
Burrell,
what? They
Burrell,
think,
Burrell,
what I said, if they take out Sanchez, the whole team is going down the tubes when it's not. Then they go, it's going to destroy his confidence. No, that's bullshit. If you put Tebow in, hey, let's see, if he throws a pass, gets 30 yards, maybe the team will get more you know, pumped up. Maybe they'll score. Maybe the defense will play better. We'll see. Tebow is God. He spreads his wealth to everyone. So we'll see about that. All I got to say is shit suckers for life. Giants are winning the Super Bowl. Carmelo Anthony for MVP. I'm out.
Thanks a lot for doing this. You know, I mean, my thing that I've said all along, too, is that you know, you're 3-6 now. You're 3-6. Okay. Let Tebow try something, man. I mean, you know, Sanchez, the date, another INT that results into a touchdown for somebody else, another fumble. I mean, you know, Burrell had the greatest job in the world here. As you know, like I said, he's a season ticket holder with a uniform and a bench. I mean, you got to play Tebow. You got to play him.
Let me say this, Doc. You are probably technically right if you want to play Tebow, but for God's sake, where is the common sense? If Sanchez is on a drive.
No, Dusty, I agree with you. I've never understood why Sanchez gives you first down.
Week, no,
now,
next Dusty, week, no,
the
that's
point
nonsense.
You make, too, is so
next,
valid.
No,
and
doc,
what Mooney said,
next week,
because what happens is
next,
when Tebow comes in,
no, it doesn't
you
make
know
sense.
You know he's going to run the
week,
football. You know
next,
he's going to run the football.
Nonsense. That's ridiculous and that's stupid. What you should do is next week, Sanchez, you sitting down and Tebow starts the freaking game. This is the
I
week when you practice.
I agree with you.
In when Sanchez is driving and bring Tebow in? That's
Dusty, that's understood. I don't understand, like you said, Sanchez hands the ball to Green, 3 yards first down, hands the ball to Green, 5 yards the first down, hands the ball to Green, 7 yards first, and then you bring Tebow in. What do you bring Tebow in for? Sanchez is rocking and rolling, and everybody knows,
that's,
as Rooney just said, when
done
Tebow,
that
when
back
Tebow
to back
comes
to
in.
Back to back to back. They've done that all the time.
And when Tebow comes in, he's not going to throw the ball. If he do, he's going to throw it 3 yards. It's, you know, it's crazy. Doc Stanley Sports is definitely the Trusting Guard Radio Network. It's Sunday Sports Wrap. The Giants and Jets have both lost. The Nets have again, after losing 10 straight times to the Orlando Magic, they have won again. The Knicks are still the only undefeated team in pro basketball. There's talk about Phil Jackson coming back to the Los Angeles Lakers. We talked about some of the stories that was happening here. One was that was Rex Ryan the most overrated coach in pro football? Witt picked the New Orleans Saints to upend the unbeaten Atlanta Falcons. Jerry Jones must be somewhat happy. The Cowboys won a division game and they won another football game. But at the same time, we may be seeing the end of both, ironically, both Michael Vick. Well, Vick seemed to get hurt again. I think his big thing is, like you said before,
he couldn't come back.
He just keeps getting beat. And Andy Reid may be on the downhill side of his career. A couple of things happened here. Derek Jeter is on the men. Said he should be ready for opening day. Cano and Granderson will be back with the Yankees next year. Mariano Rivera has spoken to Cashman. He wants a contract for next year, which he will definitely get. Drew Brees and Saints continue to march on. Happy birthday, Mark Sanchez. Last year it was a good birthday. This year was one that was simply just a birthday. Some other football scores. The Ravens, Sea Wings, how did the Ravens get 55 points?
Oh, they just never stopped. I guess they felt that they were in the NCAA and we're going to run the points up until the end. But that was the most points they ever scored. That was a team record. They just played on today. I mean, even without, they had Ray Lewis to hype them up before the game. I mean, Ray Lewis, people don't understand what type of impact he has on that team. What type of leadership? That's one of the
absolutely.
Other things that the Jets are not, they're lacking leadership. Who do they have? It's like Chris Jenkins said today. You had D Wood, you had all these guys that were leaders on the team. They're not there. And then you don't have, what Pro Bowl player do you have? Wide receiver, running back. They have nothing. They have nothing.
You're right, Steve. And not only that, see, you can look at an offense, the way the offense takes the field. They have absolutely no confidence in Sanchez. None. Zero. Nada. They just don't have any confidence. No confidence in him. You can see it now. I mean, they don't have it. You know, he doesn't command the type of respect where he can sit down and tell these guys in the huddle, look, shut up, okay, shut up. I want you over here. I want you over there. I don't want me talking to my huddle. Be quiet. I want you here. And if they come back to the huddle and they're not, yo, why weren't you there? You're supposed to be over here. So why weren't you? I mean, you can tell that they're rudderless. They're leadership. They have no leadership over there. They're rudderless. They're just going on about their business. They have no confidence in Sanchez. They're scared to bring Tebow in because they know he can't throw the football. So like you said, that the same four plays. He's a quarterback keeper to Tebow up the middle or a three-yard pass to Curley.
What they're doing, what they've done here, is they're psychologically destroying Sanchez, and they're exposing Tebow to a certain degree to not to be anywhere near what people thought it was. Harold, you've been quiet on this whole thing. Come on up here, Harold. What's happening? Your thoughts on what the Jets have done?
My point is that everybody, the point is with these teams, I think it's a great season because you don't see nobody dominating this whole sport. With Atlanta, let me start with Atlanta. Atlanta, I got to give that young crew I got to give them a hand. I mean, one thing about they lost today, but they was fighting the whole time to win that game. Something I have not seen in a lot of these, teams out there. And they went all the way to the bitter end to try to win that game. And I seen them in games that they were behind and they won. That's the company that became 8-0. So, I'm not taking another. That's like a young man that's trying to make a name for himself. No matter you being champion for the last 20 years, don't mean nothing to them. They still want to try to make that stamp in the ground. And that's one thing I see about Atlanta. I'm very impressed with those young boys because they really, really fought today to try to beat New Orleans. And that was a good, good game. But what I'm saying that all around with all the athletes today in the football, all those guys, all these teams, nobody's dominating this whole football situation. Every week, you put down a list. You could not go down that list and really pick out all winners like you did years ago. This is a whole different ball game to what we can sit here and talk, but I can bet you if everybody had to put up $1,000 on every game they had to pick, We all will be pretty much losers because you don't know who's going to come out to be winners.
The NFL age of parity is here.
This football became a different ball game than what it used to be years ago because we used to be able to pick out, Green Bay's going to make it to the championship. Yeah, Giants going to win it again this year. Yeah, so-and-so's going to win
That great line they always talk about, Harold. You say it's there now. In the past it was a fallacy, but Harold said, on any given Sunday, somebody can beat somebody else, except the Jets. Okay, anybody.
It's just come to that point that your athletes are bigger, they're faster. Then they got different rules. But I'm saying that we all can criticize certain coaches, mm-hmm. you can criticize certain plays and everything. But one thing it has come down to in this is like with boxing, when boxing was boxing, is that you got competitive teams going against each other. It's not a one-sided situation, and that's the excitement of the NFL today that everybody's so excited about.
And let's talk about the NHL real quickly. The negotiations have not seemed to be moving forward, so right now we still will have no NHL football. Last 4 or 5 days, the owners and the unions were getting together, but right now there'll be no NHL hockey this season. Once again, the home
no
team basketball wise. Go ahead, Ronnie.
I said, don't worry, no one will miss them.
I know they have a little small clique of fans,
but they're doing themselves great damage because the little bit of fan base that they have, they're losing. They took the most inopportune time to have this strike thing go down. They were just trying to get the popularity back a little bit.
Right.
As for the four major sports, they're last on the totem pole to begin with. And this was just the worst possible time as far as their fan base and what have you to have the strike thing going on.
And that's sad, too, because your hockey players are such a great group of athletes. I mean, the greatest athletes I've ever met, by the grace of God, and my sports career is boxers. Boxers, I mean, Howell's a family friend. You know, all of the Ali, Joe Frazier, I mean, you heard Joe. So, hey, Mr. Mel, Roy Jones Jr., you know, they're just a great bunch of guys. They remember you. You know, you always got time. I never hear a fight, hey, man, I got time to talk right now. And hockey players, as told by The Voice that opens up this show, the greatest African sportscast history of New York City radio, makes him all-time Larry Hardesty, ESPN, sideline reporter. And he told me, you know, in talking with hockey players and covering them for a year, with a great core of people. And I mean, Roger Bear, I met Roger Bear at Julius Erving's house, and we became friends for life. I've talked to Brian Leach and Stan Mikita and just a great core of people. And you just really... hate to see them not being able to perform, because those kind of people and those kind of attitudes and the kind of character and credibility and dignity they play bring to society is needed. You know, guys that are really true fine human beings and role models who understand their place as role models and in society. So it's just some kind of sad to see a lot of guys are playing over in Russia and able to play in other countries, and we just hope they can get this done. But like you said, the timing, you know, people forget, in 1994, people forget what happened in the baseball strike. Ozzie Smith told me, I remember we were talking about a month or so, and he says, Mel, you know, people don't understand that the way things are done, this is not us. The owners have this set up. You know, they're going to lock us out. You know, we don't want it. Well, our hands are tied. People forget that in 1994, Ken Griffey Jr., Matt Williams and Frank Thomas were going to break the one-season home run record. They all were going to hit over 60-something home runs. Barry Bonds was going to do 40-40, maybe 50-50. Okay. Greg Maddux, Randy Johnson, and two-thirds pitcher were guaranteed to win 20 games. And Tony Gwynn was going to hit 400. The players didn't want to walk away. Did you think Tony Gwynn didn't want to hit 400? You think that Griffey, Thomas, and Williams didn't want to hit 60 home runs. But I mean, you know, people forget that these guys play this game. You know, they'd love to play this game, but the structure and the way that the owners had the thing set, that these guys had to strike. You know, and
let me say this, Doc.
Good, Winnie.
Not to interrupt you, but I have to tell you this. I was telling C-Wing this story privately some time ago. It's a story that very few people know. But I'm just kind of making an analogy in regard to things that almost didn't happen and strikes and lockouts. You know, the very first WrestleMania, which is now an institution, you know, in pro wrestling, basically the year-ending Super Bowl of professional wrestling every year called, you know, WrestleMania, which is now 20-something.
Right.
Very few people know, Doc, that the very first WrestleMania, which involved Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, I was telling C the story that it almost never came off. It seems that even though these guys have promoted that show for 6 months all over the world, the people that had it to the Square Garden and security, and what happened was they would not let Mr. T and his entourage in. They had no reason, they had no idea why he was there. And his whole entourage, Doc, they basically knocked him out, wouldn't let him in. So after a while, when he's saying, are you guys crazy? I'm in the main event with Hulk Hogan. This is WrestleMania. What do you mean you don't know we are? You won't let us in. He got so ticked off, Doc, that he told his entourage, and said, let's go, man. I'm not going to go do this. What happened was, Doc, and very few people know it, you know, outside of the wrestlers and, you know, just the guys who, you know, everybody was, you know, down with the promotion. But Hogan had to come back and basically say, no, he don't do this, man. You know, I'm clearing everything. Everything's fine. These morons, you know, they just have no idea what's going on. And my thing, Doc, is how could a guy promote something for 6 solid months all over the world while everybody and their grandmother know what's about to take place and security say, we don't know who you are. Oh, why are you...
Yeah, you know,
it almost never came off, Doc.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first, and I'm willing to. And now, all of Mr. T's entourage African American?
Basically, Doc. Yeah, for the most part. So
sad and touching. You know, it just never, ever
Hogan, you know, had to basically run out of the shower.
I mean, it's just sad and touchy. You know, it just never. It was like in the police department when you're off duty, and maybe there's a yellow light, and you go through the light, and or you're a cop, you go through the gate, and you know, as an officer, this is really petty and nonsense. And the guy will come to you, and when you show him your shield and ID, it's like you're the first black police officer he's ever encountered in his life. I mean, the idea, when you see black right away, it's the perk, it's the bad guy. And you got to wonder, how can an institution like Madison Square Garden, you mean nobody had a clue? I mean,
promoted this wrestling, and C. Wayne was going to test it, and so
not to mention, the guy had been in the movies. They didn't see none of his movies. They didn't see this. You know, it's sad and it's touching, multiplied by a thousand times, as Howard Weston would say, sad and touching. But, you know, these kind of stories just never, ever stop. And you listen to the sad story of the situation in Staten Island where this guy would not let this lady in with her two kids. Simply, at Mitch Romney, and if you remember in the beginning of his campaign, he had said someplace that he was going to win because he was the white guy. You know, it just, you know, people forget, you know, everybody that's patting Ali on the back now, 30 years ago, was calling him a draft dodger, a black Muslim, a big mouth nigger. Everybody that supported Joe, where were they when Joe needed them? There was no way in the world Joe Frazier should have had any problem with his gym or anything in Philly, other reason that he was one of the greatest heavyweight champions that ever lived. But all of them guys were with glee. They were happy on March 8, 1971, when Joe Frazier beat Ali. He was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And yet, there was Joe having problems with his gym. Sad
Doc, and let me finish. Doc, and let me finish just this part of the story. And C-Wings will appreciate this. And then it's hopped
He's a wrestling nut like
Doc.
You. Go ahead.
And then it's hopped that off during the back. Then to top that off, backstage, this big redneck wrestler named Dr. D. David Schultz, who goes about 6'6", 270, who's best known for smacking the reporter John Stossel when he asked him if wrestling was fake or not, tried to pick a fight with Mr. T, saying that, you know, the guy wasn't a true wrestler, you don't really belong here, you're nothing but a TV actor, blah, blah, blah. Guy tried to intentionally start a fight with Mr. T backstage, Doc.
Wasn't Mr. T a professional boxer?
He won a bunch of tough man contests. I don't know if he was a pro, but he was like all army, everything. He was in the military, and the guy won, like, you know, everything there was to win in the military. Much like Bobby Lashley, the other professional wrestler who I think is now MMA.
Really?
He won a bunch of tough man contests, and everything else. But the guy tried to pick a fight with him, you know, called, you know, just an actor, blah, blah, blah. And as I say, a big redneck, about 6'6", 270. And as I said, Doc, best known for smacking John Stossel in 2020. When he asked him the legitimacy of pro wrestling, when he asked him about it, smacked him, knocked him down, actually wound up being sued by John Stossel, who sued David Schultz in the WWF, won somewhere around $400,000 in the settlement, and the New York State Athletic Commission suspended David Schultz for a year for that incident.
He
was
on speech now? Didn't he die recently? Was it him?
I'm sorry,
David Schultz?
Not sure, but I remember talking, and I'll make this brief, gentlemen. I remember talking to his bounty hunter partner, who was a real cool guy, Scott Bam Bam Bigelow.
Who is now the late
Bam Bam Bigelow, but who actually is a great guy, and told me that during the off season, he and Dr. D, believe it or not, were bounty hunters. I talked to him, you know, obviously before he had passed on. But we were having this discussion with Scott Bam Bam Bigelow, Doc. And it seems that during the when they were taking time off, because the wrestling really is an off season, they were bounty hunters, Doc.
You know, that was an amazing thing about sports. And hold on just a second, gentlemen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And We're here with our Sunday Sports Wrap. Giants and Jets have both lost. Nets have won again. Knicks are the only undefeated team in pro basketball. Phil Jackson may be coming back to pro basketball. And Alabama lost to Texas A&M with a freshman that people say have a great shot at the Heisman Trophy. Robbie Cano, who wears number 24, because it's Jackie Robinson number backwards, is named after Jackie Robinson. And Curtis Granderson, the best center fielder the Yankees had since Mickey Mantle, home run wise, have been contracts. They'll be extended with the New York Yankees. Mariano Rivera is wanting to come back next year. Derek Jeter, they say, is mending so well that he will be back opening day. Sad to say that the Urban Classic, which was set for this year, the 17th, this coming Saturday at the famed Yankee Center, will not be played. Some difficulties have come up. And so, in memory of Coach Robinson and George Steinbrenner, who picked Urban League as one of the charities that he would fund when he brought the Yankees back in the 70s, that game will not be played this year. So it's been played this year and next year at the legendary Yankee Stadium. The first time in 25 years the game is going to be played there. So it should be there next year. We don't know if they will do the other year that was proponed this year, but we'll have more for that, you down the line. That game has been canceled. The Giants will not lose next week because they'll have a bye week, but we don't know about the Jets because they will play again next week. Happy birthday to Mark Sanchez. Really wish you could have got a better birthday present than what you did. Looking at our opening photos, once again, we want to salute our President Barack Obama for another term. We also, again, let you know that the Yankees and Derek Jeter, they say he's doing much better and should be ready for opening day. As talk of Phil Jackson coming back to the Lakers, as you know, number one Alabama, who had stayed number one for the longest time in their history, and there was talk about them being competitive in the NFL. Well, Texas A&M took them yesterday, 29-24, as they knocked Alabama both out of first place and the undefeated ranks in college football. Notre Dame, which was number four, we'll see how the rankings come out Monday. They should elevate, once again, some big football games. The Ravens scored the most points ever in their history, 55 points. The Giants lost to Cincinnati in their previous games, eight games. Cincinnati was 5-3. Giants are trying to make it 400 and 500. The only big blowout had been in the past, a 31-13 victory by the Bengals, which scored that same score today. But it seems that the New Orleans Saints may be marching back into the big picture of pro football. Peyton Manning, the big brother of Eli Manning, and seeming like, once again, the superior of the two brothers and quarterback, once again took the Denver Broncos to another victory. The Cowboys, can you believe this? How about them Cowboys? They won a football game, but they beat the Eagles. A win is a win. Michael Vick, we don't know what the extent of his – how bad is that injury to Vick there, C-Wings?
He has a concussion.
So he has to stay out at least another week, right?
Yeah, he's going to be evaluated to see. That's if he has a has a job. I mean, but you know, you can't help if you got hurt. But that organization is definitely in. You're going to see some big changes. That firing of the defensive coordinator by Andy Reid is just a platform of what's eventually going to happen to him.
See, Wayne, what happened to Ray Rhodes? You know, he had that Philadelphia club rocking and rolling, and then he got dismissed. Is he still in football anywhere, Ray Rhodes?
I don't know if he's with any team. I couldn't tell you that right now.
Yeah, I haven't heard about him anymore. You know, in the long run, some other things we talked about, as always, little Coco throws in his interesting, insightful, and historical WWF stories. We want to also salute the Bronx Steelers youth tackle football team. We told you about them yesterday. We had their founder and head coach on. They're looking for donations. 646-852-3002 is the number. 646-852-3002. Call and get some numbers. This portion of Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network is brought to you by Andre's Barbershop, located at 21 East 175th Street in the Bronx, 917-751-3393. One more time, 917-751-3393. You can call Panama, make your reservations, and it's at 21 East 175th Street up in the Boogie Down Bronx. Andre's Barbershop has brought you this portion of Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. We are getting ready for Thanksgiving. I heard some things today. It was really amazing that there's still people with no lights on. And I was reading an interesting story. Omar Sharif, you know, got his fame in playing in Lawrence of Arabia with Peter O'Toole. And, you know, and the Dusty who devours everything. You know, Peter O'Toole, when he first met Omar Sharif, he said, nobody should be called Omar Sharif, so I'm going to call you Fred. So to this day, he always calls Omar Sharif Fred. And an interesting thing for you beer drinkers around there, and everybody says about the health benefits of wine, but supposedly beer is better for you than wine. So, and it's cheaper, so I guess a six-pack is better over a bottle of red wine anyway, most of the time. That's what they have. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The Jets and the Giants, both on the downhill side of victory
all the
today.
Way down.
All the way down, and we've told you that the Yankees, Derek Jeter, is coming along just fine, and also that Mariano Rivera will be looking to come back next year, too. So we'll have still two of the core four, and if Andy comes back, that'll be three of the core four, and who knows what the heck, maybe where Posada will decide to come back. The Mets, they got rid of Jason Bay. Here's a guy who's been everything but everything and anything he was supposed to be, so they finally cut ties with him. We don't know what's happening. I thought this was a slap in the face the other day when Walt Weiss got a job straight from high school as the manager of a Major League Baseball team in wake of all of not only the other guys there, but the African-American manager. I mean, Willie Randle's got it. Should be at the top of somebody's list. Chris Chambliss, Hal McCray. What about Cito Gaston? Cito Gaston has something that few guys have. Cito Gaston has two World Series titles. I don't know if anybody managed today. Well, Leland has two, but he has two, has them back-to-back, and it's just, as Harold says, sad and touching that the opportunity. Those things change, they stay the same. I mean, you see what happened, the story of Mr. T. I just think, with security, those guys, how does guys have a job? I mean, it's just, Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We'll be back in just a second. Just a little music for you by Mr. Stanley T, and we'll be right back with more sports. The last word, the final word, as we move into a new sports week here in the U.S. of A. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's a Sunday wrap, and we're getting ready to go at it. Okay, now,
Doc,
what happened?
You asked about Ray Rhodes. He's with the Cleveland Browns on
the
defense. Okay.
And our guy Mangini, is he still doing TV?
He's still with ESPN commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Mangenius. The Jets got rid of him. He went to the Browns, the dog pound. He had very little success there, and it just seems like Cleveland. I don't know, something about that organization. The same as with the Kansas City Chiefs, Romeo Cornell over there. It's just those franchises. You know, they. I don't know if it's the market that they play in and the payroll, but it's, you know, they've been struggling.
You know, the Browns have never been the same since Jimmy Brown walked away. I just remember that story so vividly. I mean, Brown and was going to play 10 years. He was in his ninth year. He finished his ninth season, led the league in rushing 8 out of 9 years, was making the movie The Dirty Dozen, and called Art Modell and said, hey, look, Lou tied behind here, but, I'm in shape, and, you know, I'll be in camp a little late. And Art Modell made that great comment that, you know, he had to be in time, and, you know, we can't treat him special. I mean, 8 out of 9 years he led the league in rushing, not to mention as a fullback. Okay, had the most yards all time ever, had the most scored touchdown all time ever, was unquestionably, unequivocally the greatest running back in the history of pro football, and you told him that I can't treat him special, you know, and how I would say, sad and touching. Brown said, okay, then, I retire. I'm gone. I'm done.
Doc, man, make a quick statement about that. You know, I've talked to pro coaches, obviously, and you know, I've also, I mean, you know, off the record, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard this statement that, you know, coaches will go on TV, obviously, for public consumption and say, I don't treat anybody special on my team. I treat the star of the team just like the 12th man off the bench. BS. You are not going to tell me that you're going to treat the 10th or 11th guy off the bench the way you're going to treat Michael Jordan. I mean, hello, wake up, please. Who's the most
I remember Sparky Anderson. Sparky Anderson at spring training told his team, there are two sets of rules here. There are rules for you guys, and there's rules for Pete Rose, Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, and Tony Perez. And then when George Foster became a superstar, there were sets of rules for them, and there were sets of rules for everybody else. And there's no question. How do you say that? But guys, I asked Dick Lynch one time, how good was Jim Brown, which I already knew, he said, how good was he? He said, he's the only thing they had. We knew he was coming, and we couldn't stop him. Frank Gifford said he did things that were inhumanly impossible to do, and the only reason why you know he did them was because you saw him do them. I mean, it's just, it's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Gentlemen, we're looking at next week. Harold, let's go to you first, Harold. The Knicks, 4-0. Are they going to be a contender for the title, or is this sort of something that's going to die out?
Well, like you told me, Doc, anybody can make it to the playoffs. So it doesn't make no difference to that.
You know what's happening here, too?
The big problem is, can you win the big one? That's the whole thing. And that's that. And one thing about New York, I was telling somebody today, I mean, we know everybody's going to win all the games during to the playoffs. All we remember is that you win the championship. We remember the year you won the championship and all that. We do not know how many games you won that year to get there. We don't. Nobody even cares.
You're right.
We just know 1999 or 1990 or 2003, you won the championship. That's all we know. We don't know how many games you won that year. We don't even care. All we want to know, did you win the championship?
They're going to have to convince Amari Stoudemire, Doc, that when he comes back, brother, you got to come off the bench. You can be our big gun coming off the bench, but you can't expect to just come back here and start and mess up the rhythm of the start. I never saw all
the whoopee-doo about him anyway, but I see the way they're playing now. If it's about winning, if he's willing to add
He has to come off the bench. He can be their big go-to guy coming off the bench. I mean, the kind of ball that they're playing now, he's just going to disrupt the ebb and flow. You know, you're going to have to sell him on, hey, look, Amari is still valued to us. You know, we still love you. You're still our guy. But, hey, we want you to lead the charge coming off the bench. Give our bench some firepower, some go-to power. You can't expect to come back here and upset the ebb and flow. We know you're one of our stars. You're one of our go-to guys. But lead the charge off the bench. We need you in that capacity.
It's amazing you say it's not, because you guys never cease to amaze me with your interjection. Because Walt Frazier talked about that. And we were talking. Walt said, you know, Cassie had got the starting job, and then Bill came in, and then Cassie was ready to come back. He said, but Bill fit better. And Sid Gatling Jr., who went to broadcasting school with me, who's also the producer of the John Sterling Show when John was on WMCA Radio, the Gatling gun, Sterling called Sid. And he talked about that, how Bradley fit better into the offensive flow of things, you know, whereas Bradley was the guy that needed a screen, so he's constantly moving, constantly passing, whereas Cassie, as a one-on-one player, would stop the flow, would stop the ebb, would stop the momentum. And this is what you talked about, that with things going now, you don't need somebody to come in there to clog up the situation. Or there's that great line, if it ain't broke, no need to fix it.
Well, you know, the problem with the Knicks is the fact that they're doing okay right now at the beginning. Everybody's up in joy because they're 4-0. If 4-0 gets you to the World Championship, God bless them. But the fact is that, you know, 4-0 does not get you to the World Championship. And so with them having the excitement that they're having, it's just we got to see what's going to happen to the rest of the year. Because one thing that I can see, we got to see how Carmelo, you know, He's in a high right now. You got to understand, this kid's got a big ego, okay? A big ego. He wants to be the superstar of New York City. I'm going to say this. You do not win no one championship with one man in any sport, okay? Only reason Knicks won games back in the day, because you had Clyde and you had Walt and you had Bellamy. You had all these guys that played with him. It's just like with Michael Jordan. You had Scottie Pippen. You had everybody who was around him. And this Carmelo has got such a big head. He wants to be the superstar walking down Fifth Avenue, okay, and say he's the one that brought the Knicks to the World Championship. And it's not going to work that way if he doesn't gel with all the rest of the guys. And I'm just saying, Michael Jordan, when he came, he was hitting 50 points a game when he first came aboard. 50 points, and they still would lose it. This whole thing, we're going to see what happens when we get to the middle of the year. And when we get to about January, we'll see what happens from that point on.
And Miami lost today. They lost to Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, how far are they going to go? I mean, it was talk last year.
Well, I think I know, Miami, you know, they kind of, I mean, I was talking to the call we had today when he saw Cipriano, the offensive coordinator. He said, you know, he took them to Miami to a losing season. How in the world did he wind up as the offensive coordinator? I mean, whoever thought remotely that we'd be saying, man, where's Schottenheimer here?
Bring him back.
You know, Richard Witt had some prediction here today, and he had the Saints over the Falcons, and he had the Bengals over the Jets. He gave you 6 points with the Jets over Seattle, so he lost that one. The Patriots racked up over the Bills. He was against that one. The Chargers, he was out. How'd that Charger-Buccaneer game come out, C-Wings?
The Chargers lost.
Mm-hmm. And so he had the Buccaneers. I think if I'm correct, the Buccaneers now, they're 5-5. The Broncos over the Panthers, that was a big game for them. The Titans beat the Dolphins. The Ravens crushed the Raiders.
Second worst loss at home for Miami. Yeah. Their second worst loss in team history. I think the worst was Dan Marino's last game. Mm-hmm. They were beat like upwards of 60 plus points. They scored on Miami. I mean, it was
I can understand, and I got to ask him this. I don't understand why Dan Marino did not go to the Vikings. Dennis Green told Marino that he said, hey, you know what, you can fly in for practice, you know, and then, you know, just meet his game time. I didn't understand why Marino didn't go to the Vikings. They had Moss on one side. They had, I think it was Smith. Was another Smith? Was another, he was not in the Hall of Fame. What's the other great end? The name escapes me now. I have a pair of his spikes in the Trust in God Sports and Death Artifacts Entertainment Hall of Fame. But it was a great. I didn't understand why Marino, who had went to the Super Bowl his first year, had never got that back there again. Why he wouldn't go to the Vikings? And he had all kind of concessions, and that's the question I have to ask him. He's a great quarterback, a great guy, but I don't understand why he wouldn't have taken an opportunity. I mean, one of the things that Brett Favre talked, he was livid at the Packers when the Packers let Moss go from Minnesota to New England. And one of the things that he was elated, I think you were at that game with me that night too, when he finally had Moss and threw a touchdown to him. He said, man, I've been waiting to do this for years, throw a touchdown to Randy Moss. But I just never understood. Did you hear anything about why Dan Marino? I mean, Dennis Green said, hey, look, you know, don't retire. We'd like to have you here. You know, you can just, you know, fly in for the practice or the game, day game. He's going to give all kind of concessions. I don't understand why he didn't want to play for Minnesota, and more importantly, throw and pass to the likes of Smith and Randy Moss. I was just really, really stunned by that whole thing. You know, I didn't, you know, I don't know. That's something I like to ask them about. I remember I asked. Go ahead.
You know what I see about this whole thing about football is I see the most exciting teams that are really into and putting points on the board. I see the Ravens really getting charged up, even with the big guy on the side and being injured.
Ray Lewis?
Ray Lewis. That team is I see, and this is the surprising guy, and I'm not about him being a leader. He is a leader from day one. It's about Peyton Manning. He has got so much of a drive. He's going to win the championship this year. I can bet you. Oh, he's going to be definitely going to be the playoffs. The point is that you're going to have to kill that team to win because he is out for blood this year. You can see.
He's out to prove something.
And when you got a man that dedicated to prove,
he's on a mission.
You got a problem with him. You really got. And I tell you about the Steelers. The Steelers, Big Ben, he's out to prove something too. So I mean, when you got those kind of guys in that kind of on a mission, you know the season is going to be very interesting. But like I was telling you, everybody in this league today is not safe. Everybody, every week, everybody's got to come in and play hard. The only team that's been playing like they got it all together was the Giants. Giants thought they won it last year, and they just thought, well, we just going to breeze through this year. No. You got to come in here with some excitement, and they lost the excitement in that team. They got to get that back for the Giants to get back on score because these teams now are playing real hard to win this championship.
Well, here's the kind of problem.
After they beat San Francisco, Doc, they started resting on their laurels.
Right.
Like they could just roll the ball on out and let everybody go, oh, my God.
San Francisco is really not the team that you can beat and think that you've beat the best team in football. I mean, here's a team, like I said, 14 first downs and 3 points. They had a tie today, a superior football team with a tie. You couldn't get 3 points in overtime? You know, hey, as my buddy John McEnroe said, are you serious? Are you you couldn't get
like
3 points? Did you have to throw that in? I was trying to save them that. But right, and we're talking about the Browns. I mean, there are some teams in the Pee Wee League who are better than the Browns, and you couldn't get 3 points in overtime. Harold, one more time.
Guy missed, I think, a 40-yard field goal, Doc. What can he do?
It's a 40-yarder, I think.
Chicago lost tonight, too, to the Texans. The Texans are 8-1 now.
You know what? Harold, that right there, Chicago losing to the Texans, validates what they used to say, but what you said they can say now on any given, which means the Jets still have a chance. So, I mean,
I can give an excuse for Chicago, really. And I mean, but the weather was really bad out there today. I mean, when they played in Chicago, I mean, it was really, I mean,
rain.
It was raining hard.
Tropical rain.
The wind was
going.
I mean, but as you know, my point is that if you got it going on and you're going, it's going to go your way. It's just going to go your way that way. But Chicago was just off because that weather was out of whack for them to even beat Texans. And it was a whole different ball game. I mean, you got to – let me say this. As good as you can be in anything in life, if you don't have God with you that day, ain't nothing going to happen.
The prayer, not my will – but thine
right.
be done. You had Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. We're talking football. We're talking basketball. We're talking baseball. We're talking a little boxing here. We're talking some everything. Destino Baby Lewis Jr. Dusty is here. How robust is Jr. Bell Smith Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings. We had a special call in. Lady A is on assignment, also getting over some oral surgery. Nate B. Baseball's eyes. I was hoping Mike Bellamy would join us. And Nate B. Baseball is not with the Hoopster, too. I guess he's digging into that story with Phil Jackson, if he's going to be back. But that was an interesting article, too. You know, that movie, 1953, Here to Eternity, that was the movie where Frank Sinatra won the Best Supporting Oscar, but Donna Reed also won the Best Supporting Actress, and it was the Best Picture of the year. You know, look at some amazing things, you know. And see, Wings, you have something to say? Wings?
I was trying to get where you was going with this movie thing.
It was a turning point for Frank Sinatra in his career because he was on a downhill slide.
getting and back to the Bears, fought at home, and they still couldn't deal with that weather. They played in worse weather than
Well, see,
but
that,
they played worse weather than that.
No, but Howard said, it wasn't the will of the master. That's the bottom line, because both teams had to play in the weather. They were at home, but
right.
But you know, there's another code. Real quick, yes, Sinatra was on the downhill side of his career, and that movie just turned everything back around for him. You know, you're speaking about coaches, too. Here's a guy, Lovie Smith, that you hardly hear anything about this guy. This guy does a tremendous job every year, took his team to the Super Bowl, but he's a guy you hardly hear anything about. You know, you hear about all these other guys. He did a tremendous job, and Chicago will be all right. The big game today is you want to see what Dallas does, because I have a young lady who's a big Dallas fan, but she said, you know, the Cowboys can't deal with success. Now, they beat the Eagles at home, okay? They beat the Eagles in Philly. The Eagles lost the home game to the Cowboys. I don't know who the Cowboys play next week, but it's a very good chance they'll lose. I mean, this was a big football game for them. They blew a chance last week when the Giants lost, but they came back and won again. They and the Giants are 1-1 in the division. They beat the Eagles, so I think they play the Eagles again in Dallas the next time, so that's going to be even worse. So they're already assured themselves of breaking 500 with the Eagles. So, you know, who knows? But the thing that we talked about earlier is that the coach, I mean, this guy, some of the things he's done just doesn't seem the kind of things you do as a head coach in the NFL, and more importantly, a guy that know what he's doing. I mean, if you look at some of the play selections that he did in that Giant game, that was crazy. You remember in the past, he froze his own kicker. I mean, you hear about all the inefficiencies and the negatives about Tony Romo, but you never hear about this guy as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And like C-Wing said, him, Andy Reid, and right now, you know, we kept saying, we said 2 weeks ago that he seemed to be safe, but the only thing with Tannenbaum is if he fires Rex Ryan, he has to fire himself too. You know, and there was a story on my blog, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth, blogspot.com.br, that Woody Johnson was more concerned about making sure that Barack Obama didn't win the presidency than he was about getting his team into the Super Bowl. And, you know, you just got to look at some things here. Sanchez, I mean, the sad, touching thing here that Harold says, I mean, why did you bring Sanchez here in the first, not Sanchez, Tebow here if you wasn't going to play him? But I don't understand for the life of me what this is, this conviction, this dedication, this allegiance to Mark Sanchez. No matter how bad he plays, he always winds up the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. I'm just befuddled. I mean, what is it about? What has he done in the past to validate this kind of dedication?
There's no validation. I want to tell you what it is, Doc. You're not going to like the explanation, but you, like myself, as a realist, and for some reason, their thinking is this, all right, Doc? Now, I don't agree with it. I want to say that right off the bat. I don't agree with it at all. But their thinking is that once you take Sanchez out and replace him with Tebow, that you're going to lose Sanchez, like, forever, okay? Their thing is, like, once you take him out and go with Tebow, you're going to lose him. You're going to lose him with with the rest of the team having no faith in him, you're going to lose Sanchez, period. You're not going to be able to get him back. Okay? My answer to that, however, is he seems lost anyway. The team has no confidence in him. He doesn't seem to have any confidence in himself at the moment. You have no weapons that he can kind of go to and take the weight off. You know, you have no running game that he can, you know, rely on and kind of take the weight off him. When he does finally hit a receiver and hit a guy in the numbers, they drop the ball on him. I don't know what happened to the Justin Keller's game. Don't know what happened to him. He used to be fairly reliable. Now he's dropping balls, fumbling balls, or what have you. So basically, man, they just have nothing, you know, all around. They don't have any talent around him. He's not the type of guy that makes people better. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah,
it's,
you,
and
you
not
created,
only... You know,
a, created a cadre of clowns from the very beginning. The decision making was Barnum and Bailey, man, like the circus, man. All entertainment and no substance. I mean, you had a rookie quarterback came out of USC winning two championships, and you should have built up like they're doing with Andrew Luck, who doesn't have the good ball players, but they're building him up to be a star quarterback. And what they've done here, because there was no backup, no push to get this kid up to the level of his playing. And playing, they bring in another mediocre to threaten him. I mean, Sanchez has no confidence in himself because he has the shadow of Tebow on his back. I've said that before. The coaches, there isn't a microphone he doesn't love, and all the stupid plays, man. And I keep telling you guys how would Tom Brady feel if he's driving up to the red zone and say, okay, Tom Brady, sit down. Backup is going to go into the red zone. I mean,
you're so on the point with that. And when you see it, I mean, when you
it's
see
ridiculous.
It,
what you're seeing,
what you're telling the defense is, guess what? We're going to run the football now. And you don't have to guess. I mean, C-Wings, I mean, can you explain what the theory is behind this? Why are you bringing in this guy who's a quarterback and he's going to run the football?
I think the Jets might have oversold it, and they really didn't know how to really fit him into this system here. And with his popularity and then coming to New York, I guess they're more inclined to have to use him. But, I mean, they're using him on punt protection. I mean, it's just very bizarre. I mean, as you know, we were sworn to secrecy up doing training camp. Really haven't seen anything this big, powerful weapon. I think they might have known that it's a fluke, that it might not work, and they're not going to admit to it. And they're trying to make it work, but it's just, to me, it's hard to pick what's going on, and we cover the Jets.
But
then they're operating like the three blind mice, man. Well,
they're going to St. Louis.
We know.
They're going to St. Louis.
They don't know, and we know, and we feel what is wrong. I mean, they're operating in a cloud here.
Yeah, next week they're going to St. Louis. Okay, they're 3-6 now. Okay, that's 9 games. Okay, that's 9 games. There's 7 games left. They got to go on a 7-game winning streak to save Rex Ryan's job, to save Tannenbaum's job.
A 7-game winning streak, Doc. We all have a better chance of hitting the lottery. Where's Powerball?
And they still have to play New England on Thanksgiving. I mean, it's probably
exactly.
A tougher component because the rest of their schedule after this week is very soft, except the home game Thanksgiving Day against New England, who today won. They won 37-31.
Yeah.
They are a team in disarray. And not to go off football a little bit, did anyone see the melee at NASCAR today?
No, what happened there?
It was a fight between two of the racing clubs. One guy, I don't have his name, there was a crash, and I believe that he may have, did it on purpose, and then there was a big brawl between the drivers and the racing teams, and that's the first time I've ever seen that in NASCAR.
Really?
A brawl like that. I mean, you see the crashes all the time, but even people have had words between clubs, but to get into a brawl like that, that's the first time I've ever seen it in NASCAR.
Let me say something about crashes that you will appreciate because obviously you were there live. This year's WrestleMania with John Cena and The Rock, otherwise known as Dwayne Johnson, You know something, see, the word that I got is that, now again, they spent 6 months promoting this big, big fight. By the way, actually, in real life, there's no love lost between John Cena and The Rock. In real life, there's no love lost between those two.
They real gets real, real fast.
Yeah. A lot of things take place in the ring, man, that people think are, as my word is, that you love so much exhibition. And there's a lot of real pain going back and forth. I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. In any event, Doc, the word is that I got is that Vince McMahon almost had a coronary when 2 days before this big multi-million dollar build-up of WrestleMania, John Cena was in a minor car accident. And the word is that when Vince McMahon got word that Cena had been in an accident, that he almost had a coronary right then and there. As it turned out, to be just a minor little brush up, and everything was fine. You know, no physical, no physical injury to Cena. But just the word that after all this, 2 days before this big rumble with John Cena and The Rock, that he had been in an accident. The word is that Vince barely made it. I think it was on the verge of having to be revived. But when he was told that, you know, all was well and that, you know, Cena was fine, you know, everything went off without a hitch.
You know what I found out here? Once they put A-Rod up on the Jumbotron, and there's no love lost with A-Rod down there. It seemed like the whole stadium booed him.
A lot of that is the negative press that he gets from New York City. New York is the writers are always dogging him. You know, I mean, this whole thing that I've said, you know, how can a guy hit out of a slump if he's not in the lineup? I mean, you benched A-Rod, then you brought Swisher back before you brought A-Rod back. The Yankees lost the third game of that playoff when Chavez made a critical error at third base that led to the Tigers getting their second run, and so therefore had it been a 1-0 ball game, and if you remember, there's a home run hit in the ninth inning that would have tied the game up. Was just so different. I mean, you know, it's people following a lot of the press, and it's just, you know, just basic straight up racism. I mean, you like A-Rod or not, Alex Rodriguez is the Willie Mays of shortstops. His stats prove that he's been the best all around shortstop to ever play this game. But it's a lot of people follow the lead of New York in some ways, and people don't think this idea of these intelligent sports fans. Me and Dusty, myself, have witnessed some of the so-called intellect of the mindset of some of the fans in New York City. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's a Sunday night wrap. We've got about another good 2 minutes left to go. Fight's coming up. Andre Trout against Miguel Cotto. That's going to be next month at Madison Square Garden. And then we've also got another installment of Manny Pacquiao against Marquez. And we're quickly...
I'm picking Marquez for that rumble, by the way, Doc. I'm picking Marquez in that rumble.
Harold, who do you like in that one, Harold? Harold's back in the studio. Dusty, Marquez, and Pacquiao?
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to pick Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. I'm going to pick Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao, you know, I've told you before, and I've said it before many times, that he has not been the same since the Margarito fight.
Yeah.
And he showed it with Bradley, and he showed it with Marquez. But I think this time he's going to be a little more aggressive on Marquez. Marquez may be going in a little overconfident because of the other fight. And I'm going to go on a limb. I said Pacquiao is going to beat him.
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Join us during the week here for our Sports Wrap. And we'll be back here next week with the Sports Wrap. Three thoughts. Be back today. Stand before God tomorrow. Life's most simple urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is a rent you pay for your space on earth. I simply say, God bless you all, and trust in God. Larry Hardesty.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth
with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m.
And with that, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. And Latino Baby Lois, Harold Weston Jr., Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings, Bill Hoopster, long range on assignment. Lady A, we want you to get well. Happy birthday, Mark Sanchez. Wish you could have got a better present than what you got today. Nate B. Baseball. And I'm going to buy my heart. God bless you all. And trust in God. And be with us during the week when we have sports wrap late night. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to ride away.